January 28th, Sharmani DD, Ajamil class.
First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev, Nijalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad, the Stoder Sri Shriman, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupad, the Stoder Sri Shriman, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So today, and our last day of classes and last day of Srila Gurudev's external association for some time, we'll be speaking about the importance of association. Physical association and spiritual association with pure devotees. Also the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for the various other prayers and mantras for attainment of love for Krishna and Radha and Guru. So, we'll be discussing from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Another important aspect of this discussion will be not only the importance of chanting in relation to our own development of bhakti, but the importance of giving that chanting to others. As Srila Prabhupada said about his own books, that they are recorded kirtan. Vyasadeva dictated, Ganesh took the dictation, or Sukadeva was speaking to Purigit Maharaj, that was dictated. Srila Rupa Goswami wrote some prayers, that was translated. So this is also kirtan and giving kirtan and taking kirtan. So Srimad Bhagavatam has many 10 subject matters throughout the 10 cantos or 12 cantos. One is the creation, the sub-creation, creation by Mahavishnu, sub-creation by Brahma, the different planetary systems, the attainment of the heavenly planetary systems, the descent to the hellish planets, and various incarnations of the Lord. Purigit Maharaj told Sukadeva Goswami at the beginning of the sixth canto, now you've told me about the creation, the sub-creation, the demigods, the different planetary systems, and the last thing you told me was about the various hellish planets. In the fifth canto, Srila Sukadeva Goswami has described different hells called Rurava, Vaitarani, and many others. There are 28 main hells. For example, if a brahmana disregards his regular principles and drinks liquor, then he has to go to a specific hell where he's forced by the constables of the god of death to drink hot molten iron. And the problem is, if he could just die and start again in his next life, that would be not so bad. But just as we have a subtle body and a gross body, the gross body dies, and the subtle body takes us to another body, so there's another subtle body on top of that one, not the physical body, but a subtle body on top of the mind that we have, that everyone who goes to hell has to get. So you suffer, and it's just like suffering with a gross physical body. But the problem is you can't die. It just goes on for years, drinking this hot molten iron. In another hellish planet, one who's had who has and is attached to illicit sex with the opposite sex is forced by the Yamadutas to tightly embrace a statue of that opposite sex that's made of hot iron. You know, if you touch hot iron, immediately it's excruciating, you pull your finger back. Imagine if you have to embrace that for years and years. And at the same time, on top of all that, the constables of Yamaraj whip that person while he's embracing. Another one, if somebody's cooking birds and animals, then he has to go to a hell where he gets boiled in oil. Another one where he's against the Sankirtan movement and tries to stop it, he goes to a hell where he gets sewn as though he's a piece of cloth. He gets sewn length and breadth with this thread. Can you imagine if you're sewn like that, coming in and out, length and breadth? And another one, one who forces his wife or beloved to drink his semina, he has to go to a planet where he's thrown into a river of semina, and he has to drink that for years and years. There are other rivers that sinful persons get thrown into, like one is a river of pus, blood, stool, and urine, and he has to drink that for many, many, many years. And the reason for all that, another one, he has to become a worm, and he's thrown into a river full of worms, and he eats other worms, and other worms eat him. So Sukadeva Goswami is describing these various hells to Maharaj Parikit. Then after, he explains that after they get trained up, because nobody likes to eat stool, but if you get trained long enough, then habit is the second nature, as they say. So then he gets put in an earthly body of, say, a dog or a pig, and then they love it by that time. So Sukadeva Goswami is explaining all these various hellish planets to Maharaj Parikit. And Maharaj Parikit, being a compassionate Vaishnava, he said, how can they get out of all these hells? How can the conditioned soul be delivered? So Sukadeva Goswami said, unless one performs atonement, he engages in activities of atonement, he can never get delivered from these hellish situations and transmigrating through different species of life. Atonements like study of the Vedas, truthfulness, not speaking lies, being kind to others in a material sense, giving in charity, cleanliness. These are austerities, fasting, austerities to counteract the sinful reactions, or gyan, cultivation of the knowledge that I'm not this body. So Prigat Maharaj said, well, but does that actually take away the desire for sin? So Sukadeva Goswami replied, sinful activity is a fruit of activity. An atonement, or another atonement, is controlling the mind and senses, not speaking without consideration, controlling the senses, not overeating, controlling the anger. So Sukadeva Goswami replied that atonement can give temporary relief from the reactions of sinful activities, but still it's a furtive activity, still it's a material activity. So it doesn't take away the desire. Even a very, very pious person, because he's controlled by the modes of nature, at any moment he can become sinful and then go to hell. So now, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, so now I'm going to give an example to show that the only way to permanently, forever, become free from the innumerable sinful activities that one has committed, both consciously and intentionally and unconsciously. For example, just walking to the store to buy food for myself, I step on so many ants, I breathe so much bacteria, I turn on the faucet and kill so much bacteria in the water. Even that I have to suffer for. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Rodent spray, insect spray. So the only way, he said, to be free from the millions of births and this birth of sin is bhakti, is having the association of a pure devotee and surrendering to him and following his instructions and chanting the holy name of the Lord. To give evidence of this, I, Sukadeva Goswami, I'm going to tell you a history that took place long ago. There was a brahmana named Ajamya, and he was born in the province of Kanyakubja. He was a very pious brahmana. His father trained him very nicely. He was in a very religious family, very pious. He worshipped the spiritual masters and the fire god for performing sacrifices, the family spiritual masters for performing sacrifices. I combined two things. The family spiritual masters and the fire god, and he performed fire sacrifices. He was very honest, very truthful, very benevolent, kind. He followed Vedic injunctions. He was respectful to elders. A perfect, pious brahmana. Then one day, when he was getting some fruits and flowers and summit, certain kind of grasses and kusha grass for performing a Vedic sacrifice, he happened to see on the path a sudra lady frivolously embraced and embracing a drunken sudra man. And they were joking and laughing and falling all over the place, and her dress was falling, and he was completely, his eyes and her eyes were all rolling in intoxication. And Ajamil saw that, and as in her intoxication, she glanced over at Ajamil, because when you're just glancing, you don't know where you're glancing. So with her lusty eyes, she glanced over towards Ajamya, and his heart was immediately impregnated by that lusty glance. So because he had such pious training from birth, He remembers the instructions of the Vedas, instructions of his gurus and his parents, and he said, this is all Maya, I'm not going to look again. I know that I'm not even supposed to look at a woman, what to speak of have attraction for her. But he couldn't help it. So he became so absorbed in her, she completely took over his heart, and he thought about her day and night. Finally, he just left his chaste wife, who was also a very pious, lovely Brahmani. He left his old parents, who were helpless without him, and he went to live with the prostitute. This would be a good play. And he engaged in all kinds of abominable activities. He took on the job of, for his maintenance and her maintenance, of looting, stealing, plundering, arresting people, grabbing their money. And that's how he lived, to make her happy. And in the course of the years that went by, they got 10 sons, and his youngest son, and you can imagine, he totally forgot everything that he learned from birth, from this bad association. So his youngest son was named Narayan, and naturally one is attracted to the youngest son. So he was always thinking about him, always calling out his name, Narayan. When he would chew and eat, he would call his son over to chew and eat with him, always playing together. So gradually the years went on, and gradually he became 81 years old, still doing all of his abominable activities, in having been totally influenced by the bad association of the lusty prostitute. So now, his death was coming. He was already getting old and he had such bad habits, so now death was coming. And he saw three very ghastly looking creatures, very twisted, awkward, ugly, and they were coming with nooses to grab his soul, to bring it to hell. And he saw his little baby, little child, Narayan, playing nearby. So he became overwhelmed with fear and anxiety, thinking that his son could save him, because we get so much an illusion from bad association and giving up good association, that he started screaming out, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Na, ra, ya, na. Four syllables. Because he was calling out these four syllables, though absorbed in his son, four very beautiful personalities appeared, carrying club, disc, lotus flower, and conch shell. They had lotus eyes, beautiful golden ornaments, jewels, effulgent bodies, and they began to speak in a resounding voice to the constables of the god of death. Who are you that you are taking this person to be punished? You're supposed to be representatives of the god of death, Yamaraj, who's fully conversant with all religious principles. Don't you know who's supposed to be punished and who's not? Do you know what's religion and what's irreligion? So the Yamadutas replied, who are you who has the audacity to try to stop us? You're very beautiful. You have lotus eyes and very beautiful bodies. It's obvious that you're sinless. But you should know that all these creatures in this material world in all the planetary systems are full of sin to 3 degrees, lots, little, and in between. So they have to get 3 corresponding results. And Sukadeva Goswami had previously told Maharaj Parikit that for these 3 kinds of sins, there are 3 kinds of atonements. Little atonement, big atonement, and in between. Like if you do a big crime, then you get a big punishment. You have to do a big atonement to counteract. And Maharaj Parikit had told Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami was replying, that somebody may hear about how terrible jail is, the suffering in jail. And he may have seen people come out of jail, but still, because his senses are uncontrolled, they're within the modes of nature. Even if they're in the mode of goodness, they're still in the modes of nature. And in the material world, goodness is not pure. It's always mixed with some passion and ignorance. And the nature of the material world is that there's always a struggle for supremacy between the 3 modes of nature. Sometimes goodness may take over, sometimes passion, sometimes ignorance. So anyone who's in the modes of nature, even if he's in the modes of contaminated goodness, ignorance can take over at any time. So no matter what atonement he does, he can still fall down again. And even if he hears about the hells, because his senses are not out of the modes of nature, he'll still perform sinful activities and go there. And then after millions of births in hell, he'll come again to a human life and hear what he's been through. But because he's still under the modes of nature, because he hasn't fully taken shelter of a bona fide guru, he still commits sins. Just like Arjuna didn't want to at the beginning, but he was forced to, being controlled by the modes of nature, because he was pious, always engaged in pious activities, but it wasn't enough to protect him. So now the Yamadutas are replying that, of course we know the principles of a religion. Narayan, he's manifested as the Vedas. Any religious activities which accord with the Vedas, that's religion. And whatever is against the Vedas, that's irreligion. So all these people in the material world are doing some kind of sin. They're doing pious activities, but they're also doing sinful activities at the same time. No one can do only pious activities. Even if one does everything pious, consciously, then subconsciously or unconsciously, he's doing impious things. And gradually impiety will take over. So why are you stopping us? So the Vishnu Dutas, in a very resounding voice, told them that really you have no idea what is religion. You think that he has not atoned for his sins. Actually, not only has he atoned for his sins in this life, but he's already atoned for his sins of millions of past lives. How? Because he's uttered the 4 syllables, Narayana. Even though he was intending to call his son, still, the Lord took it in a positive way. And therefore he was chanting inoffensively. There is 10 kinds of offenses. And he wasn't committing any of them, because he was just calling out in fear and anxiety. The 10 offenses, for all those who don't know it, especially who just got initiation recently, today, yesterday, day before, is to blaspheme devotees who dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord, to consider the names of the demigods as equal to or independent of the name of Krishna, to disobey the order of the spiritual master and consider him an ordinary man, thinking that he doesn't know what's best for me, but I do. And to disobey the orders of scripture, to think that chanting of the holy name is ordinary material piety, comparable with any other pious activity that would give me heavenly planets, to sin on the strength of chanting. Well, since chanting delivers one from all sin, I'll just sin and I'll keep chanting. No problem. But the name is not a machine. The name is a person. It's Krishna. And if Krishna sees that he's being misused, he doesn't have to stay there. If you see that you're being misused, would you stay with somebody? No. So the holy name also is not interested. So the holy name leaves. And that's the most strong of all the 10 offenses. It's most offensive. And to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, in spite of hearing so many instructions in the matter, and being on the bodily conception of life, though chanting. These are 10 offenses. So even if one is doing the offenses, still he's gradually getting cleared. If he's at the same time begging that please stop me from these offenses, but if he's cultivating, especially Guru Aparad, even if he's chanting, going to Mangalartik, and everything like that, still, Gurudev said, because there were so many people who were not only against him for their in their own life, but were propagating everywhere in the world, don't go to see Narayan Maharaj, or Prabhupada will reject you and you'll go to hell. So Gurudev said that even though they're looks like they're chanting and they're looks like they're taking prasadam, looks like, but they are actually they're actually giving Krishna anxiety. What kind of anxiety? Krishna's thinking, oh my God, I've created so many hellish planets, but none that's hellish enough for this type of person. So how am I going to get one that's good enough? So Krishna's in anxiety like that. And when Gurudev first heard about what was happening back in 1996 on his first world tour, he was sitting at the airport on the chair in the lobby and went like this, and he said, they're cutting off their own thighs. But the Vishnudutas were telling the Yamadutas he wasn't chanting with any offense. He was just in anxiety calling out to his son. So this was, he was chanting, what do you call that? Namabhas. And therefore, he's free from millions of births. He's atoned for millions of births. Because this is the nature of the holy name. It has so much power. And Sukadeva Goswami is trying to impart to Maharaj Parikit the power of the holy name. So then, the Yamadutas were forced to release Ajamya. Well, first they told him the story. He said, we understand that he was pious at first, but then when he got in with this prostitute, he lost it all. So we have to punish him for that. But finally, because of the arguments of the Vishnudutas, who forcibly took away the ropes, they were not able to take his soul and bring it to hell. Oh, I forgot, another one of the hells is, there's a planet made of hot, boiling hot copper. And they have to live on that boiling hot copper for thousands of years. No relief. So now, all this conversation between the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas were heard by Ajamya. And he was completely struck with wonder because he'd been chanting the holy names of the Lord all these years. But now he understood the glory of the Lord by hearing from the pure Vaishnava, that is the Vishnudutas, who are gurus. All pure devotees are gurus automatically. All bona fide gurus are pure Vaishnavas. Now he had his moment's association with the pure devotee. So he immediately wanted to say something and offer his obeisances to the Vishnudutas. But seeing him wanting to say something, They immediately disappeared. So in the meantime, the Yamadutas went to Yamaraj and said, "What happened? We thought you're the supreme in judging who's pious and who's impious. Is there anybody higher than you?" So Yamaraj explained to them that all the demigods are under Lord Narayan, myself included, and they're under these pure devotees. Anybody who's chanting the holy names, even in joke, even neglectfully, you shouldn't even look at them or to speak of approach them. Because gradually, life after life, they'll get purified, they shouldn't go to hell. And Lord Narayan has made a vow that anyone who's chanting his holy name, or to speak of those who are chanting neglectfully, anybody who's chanting sincerely, his club will protect them from time, from enemies, from the envious, and even from me, even from my punishment. So this was the teaching of Yamaraj to the Yamadutas. Where does religious principles come from? Dharmam tu shaksha bhagavat pranitam. Religion was created by God himself. No one else can do it. And nobody understands the religious principles, but there are 12 authorities, like Brahma, Shiva, Nard, and also myself, Bhishma, Janak, Prahlad, 12 great authorities, we also understand the religious principles. So yes, Ajamil is sinless now. He's not a pure devotee, because as this conversation was going on, at the same time, Ajamil, who was now purified by the association of the pure devotees, he just disappeared. He began to think. His whole thinking changed by their association. "Oh, fie on me! What did I do? I've left my chaste wife, my elderly parents who could not live without me. I left them in that condition without any consideration. I stayed with a lowly, lusty prostitute, had children with her, hurt so many people, plundering them, beating them, stealing, just to satisfy her lusty senses. Oh, I should be burnt in many millions of hells. But these pure devotees, they've saved me, they've shown me the light. I'm never again going to fall prey of my senses. I'm going to Haridwar, to the bank of the Ganges, and there I'm going to perform bhakti yoga, because I know no other austerities or atonement or pious activities will help me. I'm going to meditate on the Supreme Lord in bhakti yoga." And so he went by foot to Haridwar, and for many years he was meditating on the form of the Lord. He became so purified that, seeing how purified he was, because pure devotees, they're in the hearts of everyone. As you might have heard a few days ago in the history of Narada, when Narada came to see Vyasadeva to order him to write the Srimad Bhagavatam in trance, when he first came, Vyasadeva told him that you are just like the air. The air can enter into the inner regions of everyone and everything. So you're just like the super soul. So you know my heart, you know what's my dissatisfaction. Similarly, when Suta Goswami was about to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam, he first offered his prayers to Sukadeva Goswami, his spiritual master, to get strength from him to preach, to teach Srimad Bhagavatam. And in that, the prayers to his Gurudev, Sukadeva Goswami, he said, he sang, "Yam pravarjanta manupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano vyas dvaipayano." Huh? viraha katamam ajuhava putreti tanmayataya taro banedus tam sarvabhuta hridayam muni manatosmi tam sarvabhuta hridayam. My Gurudev, Sukadeva Goswami, is situated in the hearts of all. He knows everyone's hearts, their happinesses, their distresses. Everyone is looking for someone who can know how nice I am and who also know the volume of my suffering. And that can only be Krishna, situated in our heart, and Guru, who is Krishna's manifestation, who is also externally and also situated in our heart. Only He knows the volume of our suffering, and only He knows all of our goodness, and He can bring out that goodness to its perfection. So, the Vishnu Dutas knew now He's ready for going to Vaikuntha. So they immediately appeared with a golden airplane, not material gold, but spiritual gold. And Ajamil said to them, he fell down at their feet, weeping in ecstasy, and he said, how come when you appeared before and you were having this conversation with the young Dutas, I wanted to talk with you, bow down to you, but you just disappeared, and now you're actually taking me, and I'm able to speak with you. What happened? What's the difference? And they said, you weren't pure enough. You were just beginning, so we couldn't give you our full association at the time. But now, by our mercy, you've become pure, and now we're taking you with us to be eternal associates. So, this is the power of the association of pure devotees. This is the power of taking the holy name. This is the power of giving the holy name. Because Sri Guru has come to take all the wilted flowers of spirit souls all over the world and make them blossom beautifully so that He can offer them to Radha and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And when He sees any of His followers doing that assistance for Him, then He becomes so pleased. And this play that you did last night, this drama, is also that very important preaching. And that, which is very interesting because, you know, for the most part, during this whole festival, like of all the festivals in the West that I've ever been to, Gurudev spoke the least here. But I think you all felt that His eyes were the most piercing and penetrating. His presence was the most penetrating and piercing that you might have experienced. So deep, like you feel like I'm totally exposed. So that's good, I'm totally exposed. He's in the middle of doing an operation and he's doing all kinds of things in there, exposing me and then moving everything around, putting all the good stuff in, taking the bad stuff. So the thing is that although we were speaking, I was speaking, other speakers were speaking, we weren't giving Harikatha. Please forgive me any of the sannyasis if I'm wrong. But Harikatha can only be given by the Uttama Mahabhagavat. We can give, well, I don't mean to say that I'm wrong. I mean to say that if any of you are pure devotees like that, please forgive me. But we can give, we conditioned souls can give information about Harikatha. And Harikatha, the Shabda Brahma, that comes from the lips of the pure devotee. Why? Because Hari has manifested in his heart and is coming out of his lips. He's not in control of what he's saying. Hari is in control and he's fully absorbed in Hari. And Hari has taken over and come in the form of Katha. Because Gurudev is actually the Ashraya manifestation of Hari, isn't he? Shakshat Haritva. So, there are three kinds of preachers or teachers. One who gives information about Harikatha, In other words, words. Even if I speak about Krishna, it's still not Shabda Brahma. It's still Samanya Brahma. I mean, not Samanya Brahma. It's still Shabda Samanya. Ordinary sound. But when a pure devotee speaks, it's Shabda Brahma. From his pores of his body, praying atoms are coming and falling on the audience. And from his glance, Shabda Brahma is coming, transcendental sound and life. So actually, he was giving the Harikata the whole time. He was giving you all Harikata. So, by the mercy of the Harikata of the Vishnu Dutas, Ajamila was able to achieve Vaikuntha. Then what to speak of? We're getting so much association with the books, TV, Pure Bhakti TV, purebhakti.com, and Gurudev's constantly traveling around the world and giving classes all the time at his advanced age of 88. And he's giving much more than, he's offering much more than Ajamil could ever even imagine. What is that in the fourth verse of Manashiksha? Api tyaktva lakshmi padiratim nayam vyoma, something like that. And mind, you should also give up attachment to Lakshmipati Narayan, which leads to Vaikuntha. So if so much greatness is coming to Ajamil, what to speak of anybody who isn't connected with Srila Gurudev? So regarding the operations that he does, I'll tell one incident, a very interesting operation. Ramanujacharya had one disciple who was a very great scholar. He knew all the Vedas. He could quote any verse from any Vedic literature. And he knew it. And he was proud of it. So Ramanujacharya was thinking, such a good potential, but he's ruining it with his false pride. So I should do an operation. So around that same time, one of his young lady disciples, who had been with him since she was a little girl and used to jump on his lap, now she was married, and she came to him and said, "Oh Guruji, please help me. I need a servant. My husband's relatives are so nasty. Even though I've come from a very rich home, they treat me just like garbage. They treat me just like I'm some slave. I have to walk miles to the well up a hill every day to get water for washing, for cooking, for cleaning. I have to cook for the whole family, not only my husband, but all of his relatives. Every day I have to wash everybody's clothes. I have to get the water from the well. And I just can't do it. I need a servant." I told them that I want to get help, and they wouldn't even let me get any help. "So Gurudev, please give me a servant." So Sri Ramanujacharya called for that scholar disciple. And he said, "I want you to go and serve my girl disciple. Become her servant, and whatever she asks you to do, do." So, yes, Gurudev. Gurudev said, "If I gave that order to any of you, you'd say, 'What is this bogus guru?' And you'd send out emails on the internet to everybody. 'Don't go to that bogus guru. He'll just mess up your life.'" So this disciple went to the place of the girl, serving, doing everything, washing, cleaning, cooking. They wouldn't even give him soap to clean himself. So he was like, finally, after 6 months or so, his clothes were all worn and torn, filthy looking. You can imagine he was a little smelly too. And, you know, matted hair, looked really gross. And then into that village came this wandering pundit, Mayavadi. And he was giving classes. And the innocent villagers, they didn't know, you know, Philosopher Siddhanta from Upper Siddhanta. So everybody thought, wow, you know, how scholarly, he's quoting all these verses. So one day, the disciple went, he was sitting there. And he was trained by Ramanujacharya. He knew Vaishnava philosophy, and he knew how to completely defeat all Mayavadi arguments. So he said, "May I say something?" And a lot of people said, "Him? What a joke!" But other more intelligent people, more respectable, cultured people, they said, "Let him speak." So he spoke so beautifully, quoting all the Vedic literatures, that he completely destroyed all the arguments of that Mayavadi, who went away in embarrassment. So then everybody went to him, "You're so great!" And they found out he was a disciple of Ramanujacharya. And they went to Ramanujacharya and said, "What are you doing? He's so qualified." So then Ramanujacharya understood, "My apparition was a success. He's become humble." So then he brought him back, and now this disciple became a great preacher on behalf of Ramanujacharya. So Sri Guru does operations not only so obviously like that, but sometimes nobody even knows it's happening. It's all going on inside. Because he's the great doctor. So I'll end here and ask if there's just one or two questions. Is Prashadam already ready? Or what's... Okay, so there's fasting for breakfast? It's a brunch. Okay, it's a beautiful brunch coming at... What's the offering? 10:30 to 11:00. Jesus Pujari. Oh, where is the Krishna Bhakti for being making all the offerings of a beautiful prasadam? Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 然后还有孤单的老师给我们讲说，今天我们谦卑，这种谦卑是怎么呢？不光是像草那么低哦，还有我们看到别人的伟大，我就在想，我们怎么去发扬别人的伟大？
They always see that even they have so many bananas, everything like the monkey, pride, nothing. But do they see as the aura? And you have all this pure desire, like you have the river, you know, so much, so many things. But he considers to be Yamuna. And there's one Prabhu, when he gave Kalikanta, he mentioned about we should be humble. And not even that, we should also, in another sense of humility, we can also be happy. Others greatness, you know, in others. So there are two sides. You know, one side that we should be humble, and the other side that we appreciate others' greatness. So how can we do this? How can we?
Oh, so I'll repeat the question. Tell me if I got it right. The question is that the other night one of the devotees was saying that Gurudev always sees the good in us. So we should try and emulate him and see the good in others. And at the same time, we're supposed to be humble. And so how can we do both? Is she saying that that's a contradictory thing, to be humble and see the good in others? Or how can we have those two good qualities, to be humble and to see the good in others? Oh, that's a very good question. Since we have the tendency, all conditioned souls have the tendency to criticize others, how can we become free from that tendency and see the good in others? Yes? Okay. So, by remembering certain things that Gurudev said, Prabhupada said, the scriptures say, and then praying that I can follow that. All of our prayers in our songbook are actually meant for getting rid of all bad qualities and getting good qualities. So many of our songs Oh Gurudev, please take away this and that, please give me this and that quality. Oh Gopinath, please take away that and that quality, please give me this and this good quality. So the goal of all of the songs, of course, is to become a maidservant of Srimati Radhika. Gurudev said, all of our acharya's songs and prayers are for that. But to help us to come to that, we're praying that please take away all the impediments to that, like my bad qualities, which are impediments, and give me the qualities which are favorable for getting pure bhakti. So one of the bad qualities is finding fault with others. So, number one, if I remember the words of our Gurudev and Guru Varga, and then pray through the songs, or just in our own words, to give me the power to follow that, and then, at least, if I'm thinking something and I can't control my mind, at least I should control my tongue. And then gradually I'll be able to, it'll get easier and easier. Like, when you lift bars, first you lift 2 pounds, then 5. Once you got that, then you go for 10. So, starting like, okay, I'm not going to say anything, and you don't say anything. And the next time, it's easier and easier and easier. And then, wow, I can even say something good back. I don't want to. I definitely don't want to say something good back, but I'm going to. Then I do, and then it gets easier and easier and easier. And then you just feel like saying something good back. Wow, thanks for telling me that. Who's going to be my friends if you're not telling me that? Thank you, I'm going to change right away. That is kind of you. Please, don't wait this long next time to tell me these things. Tell me immediately. So I can immediately give it up. So, what are the different things that we can remember that Gurudev said about it? I'll say a few. Number one, he said, you're not authorized to criticize. I have not authorized you to criticize. Another one, if you criticize others, even if they have the fault, that you're criticizing. It doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. But if you criticize others, then you're creating a bridge to that quality by your consciousness. And the bridge is bringing it back. I see Charachandrika there. She never criticizes others, but she was in really a great play. She was in a drama in Kent, England. At least 9 years ago, I think, right? And she played the Brahmana, who was very renounced, and left his wife. His wife couldn't bear it, but he left anyway. And then he was sitting in the forest chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, and Charachandrika was doing that. And then it just so happened by fate that there was a prostitute house very nearby. So he would see the prostitute and her friends going back and forth from and to her brothel. So Charachandrika was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. In this way the years passed, and the prostitute would see the Brahmin fasting, chanting, and she would think, oh, he's so fortunate, he's so pure, and I'm such a vile prostitute. And she would offer him all respects and wish that she could be like him. Anyway, they both got older year after year. And gradually they both became very old and death came to them. So the Yamadutas came to Charachandrika and said, well, taking you to hell. She said, wait a minute, you got the wrong address. You should go to that prostitute. And the Yamadutas told her, no, we have the right address. Because you've created a bridge of consciousness, and all her qualities went in you by consciousness. And the Vishnu Dutas came to take her, because her consciousness was pure by being absorbed in wishing she could be pure like the Brahmana. So after the play, Gurudev said, don't think this is just a drama. This actually happened. It's a real history. So that's another thing he said. Another thing he said in Badger, was that If you find that somebody is criticizing you, then you should build them a hut in your house so they can always help you to be humble. And Prabhupada said, if you're thinking, now why would that person criticize me? I'm trying to be a devotee. Oh, I know. I have some impurity. And Krishna himself is trying to get me out of it. So he sent that person to help me. And then another thing, did I say the one that Bhakti Devi goes away?
No.
Yep, criticize and Bhakti Devi goes away. And then there are so many examples of devotees who didn't criticize, though there was call for criticism, and how what success they achieved. Like what Gurudev was presenting last night about Maharaj Ambarish. He certainly could have criticized Durvasa, but instead he blamed himself. I've caused so much suffering to this poor Brahmana. And he fasted as an atonement or penance. And look at the glory he achieved. He got the surrender of that Brahmana. And he's gone down in history as such a great devotee. And then there's this the history of Srivas Thakur. He used to hold nocturnal sankirtan in his house, in his courtyard, and the gates were locked so that no envious person could come in and ruin the atmosphere. So there was one envious person named Gopal Chapala, and he wanted to take revenge against Srivas Thakur. He wanted to defame him. So he put some paraphernalia for worship of Durga on his doorstep so that everybody would think, see what he does when nobody's looking. So what happened was that he came out the next morning, Srivas Thakur, and he saw all this paraphernalia, and he made a big announcement that, come everybody, see what I do, see what kind of worshiper I actually am. And then because Krishna is in everyone's heart, all the respectable persons were saying, who has done this injustice to Srivas Thakur? So Krishna wouldn't let anybody believe it. So different things like that. I don't like to distribute CDs of my own classes. I like to distribute Gurudev CDs. But I gave 1 hour and a half class on how to be free from anger and resentment, which has these points and many, many others. So if you want to get it, you can get it from Vasanti. She'll just give it out for free. And I think we already have one translated into Chinese, which we did in Hong Kong. Any other questions?
I understand, we hear very often about the problems.
Can you speak louder?
Yeah, we hear very often about the problems from criticizing someone who's qualified. What about someone, say a new devotee comes and inappropriately attributes very high status to someone who's not so advanced? Like we may see someone, you know, with a danda, and we decide this person's actually a pure devotee. And sometimes in younger devotees become a little hysterical and, you know, give
worship
and attribute so many high you know, qualities to someone who may be respectable but may not be so advanced. So what's the situation there? What kind of bridge do you build when you do that?
So you're asking, you're not asking what the new devotee should do, you're asking what an older devotee should do, how he should speak to the newer devotee?
No, what's the position of a newer devotee when they inappropriately sort of glorify people?
Well, that's their position. They're new devotees, and so they're Kanista Adhikaris, and so that they won't know the difference between a pure devotee and a not pure devotee. Yeah. Charachandrika? Loud? You're making offense. So Kanista Adhikaris will always make tons of offenses. It's the nature. Kanista Adhikari also thinks nobody's a good devotee, but I'm a good devotee. So yes, that's the position. But if that Kanista Adhikari, that's all he can do. Like, all I can do now is Namaparad. I can't do Namabhasana. I can't do what to speak of Sudanam. But I know that if I'm repenting and lamenting, that and being in good association and hearing Hari Katha, then I'll gradually get out of it. So if that neophyte devotee, by his past secretes and sanskars from previous lives and this life, takes the association of pure devotees and advanced devotees who are under pure devotees, then gradually he'll come through that.
But is it possible for someone who's on this low platform, on a Kanishtha platform, or born into a condition where their existence is offensive, is it possible for them to generate more offenses just by the business of being what they already are?
So the question is, if we're offensive, doesn't that generate more offenses?
No, no. If we are of a low order of consciousness, surely that must be taken into consideration. We can't generate more offenses simply by being unevolved.
Oh, I see. So you're saying that it's natural that an uninvolved soul, aspiring devotee, will naturally commit offenses, so
make mistakes
unintentionally, just by the level that he's at. So isn't that mercifully taken into consideration? That question? Well, definitely. The guru is just like a father, and when the baby drools and dribbles and has his stool all over him, he just loves the child and he keeps nourishing him and bringing him up to be a good boy. Just as they were saying, Gurudev sees through all of our offenses and mistakes and anarthas, and he sees our beautiful soul and he tries to bring us to that point. Like when a gardener, a very expert gardener, sees any seed of any tree, he can see the whole plant exactly what it's supposed to look like. And then he nourishes that seed to make it look like that. So the spiritual master is like that. Whereas other neophytes, like myself, I'll just find fault with him or her, with that person who's making mistakes and finding fault. And then by the virtue of consciousness, it comes to me. I'll tell you an interesting history in that regard, a recent history, with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was preaching in one of the cities. I mean, he wasn't preaching. He sent out one of his brahmacharis to preach in a certain city. And then that brahmachari established a temple there and got so many other people to help. So it became so successful that he wanted to have a deity installation ceremony and establish it as a bona fide preaching center, authorized preaching center of Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he invited him to establish the temple and the deities. So when Srila Prabhupada came, at first he was very happy looking around. You know the story of children? And then he said, well, where's that original brahmachari who started this whole thing? So they said, well, yeah, Gurudev. He used to be a good brahmachari, but then he got entangled with a woman. So we got in his case so much that he left. Now we don't have to be bothered by him. So Srila Prabhupada said, what? He left? You criticized him and that made him leave? It takes so many gallons of blood to make a devotee. And then you just threw him out? If you don't find him somehow or other and bring him back, I'm not going to establish this temple or deity and I'm leaving. So several of them went out looking for him everywhere. Most of them couldn't find him, and one of them found him working in a watch factory. So they immediately begged him, please, please, Gurudev is here, please come back, please forgive us, we made a big mistake, Gurudev wants to see you. So immediately the brahmachari burst out in tears, "Oh, my Gurudev wants to see me," and he ran at the speed of light to Gurudev, weeping and falling at his feet. And then Gurudev touched his head and he became free from his anarthas. That's how powerful, you know, the powerful Guru is. So who could have known that even though he was the one that was quote-unquote rotten, he got most mercy? We can't see what's happening. Yes, Guru.
Sarani Didi, when we're engaged in devotional service, quite often we're very painfully aware of our own shortcomings. How do we avoid becoming morose or depressed about our inability to follow properly?
By not having time to be depressed. And I can be depressed while I'm singing. I take the time out to do bhajans every day, minimum half hour, even if I'm so busy with millions of jobs, minimum half hour to sing the prayers, and then I can be depressed into the prayers, because that's the process for getting out of the whole mess. And then other times I should be so busy with Guru Seva that I don't have time. I have time to be depressed if I think about it, and it's good, rather than thinking about the bad qualities of others. But I shouldn't have time to dwell on it, because I should be so busy thinking about what I'm supposed to be thinking about to get out. Thinking about when I'm taking prasadam, what I'm supposed to be thinking about. When I'm chanting, what I'm supposed to be thinking about. And trying. Okay, fail, fail, try again. Trying to remember the prayers that will help me chant while I'm chanting, like Samsara Dukha Jalado Patitasyakama O Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm now, and thinking this while I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm now under the net, bound tightly under the net of material existence. And that's not the end of it. The net happens to be underwater, under the ocean of material existence. And it's not a clear water, because there's lots of crocodiles and alligators of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy, who are taking advantage of me being on the net, and they're eating me alive. Can you imagine being eaten alive? And not only that, but I mean, I can't even rip myself out of the net, because my hands are chained behind my back by the chains of wicked desires. Oh, Chaitanya Chandra, there's no hope for me. There's no shelter for me, unless you kindly give me the shelter of your lotus feet. Ram Ram Hari Hari. Not like her. Not like, who's the one? Not like her. Oh dear, Ram Ram Hari Hari. How cute you are, Ram Ram Hari Hari. Your horns just turn me on, Krishna Krishna. Excellent.
When you know that he's going to rescue you, you know, he's there for you, then there's so much pressure, you don't feel bad anymore. Like, okay, I'm like this, but Guru is there, there's so much pressure.
Very excellent. Thank you. I have to go now. All right, two last quick ones.
One question. What is the situation for someone who is given the responsibility of Gurudev's preaching mission in a particular community to help establish standards or whatever of how things should happen? And there seems to be a need for discrimination or for, I don't know, not criticism, but you've got to see the faults in others.
Everybody heard the question? Okay. Very good question. And it leads me to want to give a reply to another question like that. So for this, the question is, Gurudev has given you responsibility for a certain area, a geographical area for preaching, to establish standards and consciousness, and you see that there are others around who aren't up to that standard, and unless you criticize them and find fault, how are you going to get to everybody to the higher standard? Is that it? So actually this question was asked Gurudev by one of the one leader of one institution who later on met with a very, very horrible death. But while he was alive, really a ghastly death. While he was alive, he asked Gurudev that Prabhupada put us in charge of this institution, and we know we're not supposed to criticize, but for the benefit of the society and benefit of the person that we're criticizing, we have to criticize. So then what? So Gurudev said, if you criticize, your heart will become so hard that you will lose discrimination who to criticize. In fact, he said that in Holland also in a class, that you'll end up criticizing Mahaprabhu and Krishna and Guru if you're into criticism for the so-called purpose of preaching. So then Gurudev said to this person, institution leader, you can criticize if you have preeti, love. Just like Mother Yasoda. What kind of love? I'm saying this out of love, not because of any vengeance or anything. So love, what kind of love when he said, when Gurudev said, preeti means like Mother Yasoda. She would say to Krishna, oh, so I see that you're stealing butter, are you? May I punish you? And he just gave that example, very beautiful. So if you have preeti, then you can criticize, otherwise it's dangerous. I can correct someone who wants to be corrected by me, who has my permission, or who's given me their permission to correct them, as long as I do it in a way that's encouraging them. So that's an art, to instruct and guide in a way that's encouraging. You stupid idiot, how many times have I told you not to do that? Don't you have any brains? So the person is either going to commit suicide, leave me, or leave Krishna consciousness, or get depressed, or be, what's the word, like a bratty kid who just get back at the parents, won't nah, 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 and won't follow what I say. There's a, I don't want to, you know, advise anything but bhakti yoga, but I do have to mention that a lot of devotees are finding a lot of help in how to deal with all kinds of relationships, including family relationships, parents, children, if I'm the parent, friends, devotee acquaintances, business acquaintances, people that I'm preaching to, by reading this book and seeing on internet this group called Nonviolent Communication, which teaches many communication tools for how to say something in such a way that a person wants to accept. And for me to hear from the other person in such a way that I'll know what to say, that will be encouraging to them. A lot of devotees have switched and lost so many problems just by knowing these few tools. And then I thought you were going to ask for a different question from the beginning of it, so I'd like to have the opportunity, if you don't mind, to answer that one. You started out by saying, what if you've been given responsibility over a certain geographic area to raise the standards in consciousness, and a lot of the people in that area don't want to follow and they just want to do their own thing and they don't want to listen. So this is a question that I hear in every country and every city, at least from one devotee per city in every single country. And I reply the same way. That is, we're all, if you picture this, we're all looking, there's a small group of us, and we're all looking in at each other. Like say there's 10 devotees or 20 devotees, and we're all looking to change each other. So the thing is to look out towards, Gurudev didn't only say to change the standards of the devotees, he wants us to change the standards of the city or of the province. So look out towards new people, because instead of banging our heads against each other, look out towards new people and bring them, start them the way I want people to be. The other people have already been trained in another way and it's harder. But new people, they're fresh and you can make them the way you want and they'll be so grateful that we took them out of, you know, rural Avaloka and worms eating worms, that they'll want to, if they're encouraged, they'll want to follow what we say. Like Prabhupada said, if a little kid steals a $100 bill, you don't say, "You brat, give me that $100 bill." Then he'll just rip it up right in front of you. "Oh, you're such a good boy. Have a lot of. Oh, let me see what's in your hand. You're so intelligent." Yes. Loud. Thank you, that's the next, thanks for reminding me. So in addition to getting our own enlightenment and strength so that we can, when we do come in contact with devotees who are already devotees, we'll have the strength, happiness, enthusiasm of having practiced with the non-devotees. And then, being with devotees, learn how to say things in such a way. Like if I tell you that you, the way Prabhupada used to do it, and Gurudev too, as she mentioned, Charachandra Kadidi mentioned, I tell you that you have a quality that you don't have, a good quality that you don't have, and then you automatically want to be it or do it because I'm so nice. You want to be a certain way to please me. And you also see how so many young people, new people, are becoming enthusiastic more than me, and I'm in my old set of ways. So I see that I'm really missing out, and I'll want to change. We can change people more, unless the person gives us permission, and they're encouraged by our guidance. I can change people more by telling them what they're doing right, and even things that they're doing right that they're not, than by telling them what they're doing wrong. And by telling them, "You're wrong." "No, we're wrong! No, you're wrong!" "I'm wrong." "No, I'm wrong! No, I'm wrong!" Gaur Premanandi Hari, you can continue it. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Srila Gurudev ki jaya, Srila Gurudev's Malaysia Vyas Puj Festival 2009 ki jaya. Gaur Bhakti Vrindaki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Om Panchakoti Jivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Chapati. Thank you.
Marshall Rosenberg.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. I have been trying to get them. You can't get them. They're not in print.
What's
anymore.
The book?
Yeah.
You can order it.
They're hard
we
to
got
get.
It from the internet.
Did you?
You can Xerox mine. You can Xerox mine.
Yeah.
I have it right here. What's your name? Has it? Krishna Bhakti.
There's
has my copy.
There's two copies floating around my home. Like,
oh,
my
yeah,
home
just Xerox it then.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks a
lot.
I just came to know that you're the one who's painted all these beautiful.
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly.
You, Krishna, and
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
he's one of my favorites. I have
oh.
it there in my
oh.
room. Thank
great.
You. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very sweet. Did anybody come to get your email address last night?
Yes.
Okay, for the Hare Katha mailing list?
Yes.
Oh, great, because then you're going to get all kinds of nectar coming in your mail. Thank you so much.
Talking of it.
Oh, 1 second. If you like art, I have an art website that has all these pictures on it. It's called www.bhaktiart.net.
Bhaktiart.net.
Yeah.
You know what I just remembered at the end there? Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya made the point of when someone has been consulting the subject.
Yeah.
You tell them a week later.
That's a good one.
That's how to correct someone.
That's great.
You leave it a week and then you
That's great.
And then you're not
when you're not angry.
You're not talking out of anger.
Yeah, out of tongue.
Anyway, I'll let you.
Control uncontrolled. The tongue, my tongue didn't get satisfied, so I'm angry.
Yeah.
No, I don't take this prasadam because I can only have
okay.
other stuff.
Can I run to you and get to you anything?
No, I'm just going to my room.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. I was talking about the Lord Rama stealing the cows and calves, and
yeah.
I was thinking of the poster that he painted, and it was the first one I ever hung up in my
which one?
My room. The one of Lord Rama with the cows, the old. The first one that was in Krishna book?
That was done by Murlidhar.
Oh, Murlidhar did that.
Yeah.
I
it had
the
big head in the corner.
Yeah, and Lord Rama. And there was
thank you for the calendar, Mahara.
Oh, sure.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll see you later today and tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Are you going this
way? Oh. No. It's, yeah, well, I guess you can go this way.
Oh, Murlidhar.
Yeah, it's the big Brahma's face in the corner, right?
Yeah. That was the first poster I ever put up in my apartment.
Wow, I didn't know it was a poster. Yeah, ISKCON's really good. They make a lot of posters.
I was also just going to make a comment, too, that, you know, there was a popular misconception in ISKCON that everybody was, you know, great and grand and...
Yeah.
I mean, I think that... really was a key to a lot of disappointment.
Of course, yeah.
Because we look to each other as Prabhu and you know,
yeah.
we're so advanced and we would do all these things, you know, grab each other's feet. And,
yeah.
And I'm not sure, but I think that was part of the whole disappointment around leaving, you know, having three devotees leaving and doing things. That's also dangerous. To give too much attention.
Too much.
I remember when we first were on Topspring Island and my husband said to you, oh, Ramana is just so great. And we turned to him and looked him square in the eye and he said, but he's not breathing. I remember that because that's been kind of our frame for understanding association. You know, 2 days are only shelter. Sure enough, about that.
Yeah. Yeah, even somebody may look exactly the same, say the same words. It's not the same.
Yeah.
I'm chanting Gurudev's chanting right next to me, but two different worlds. Now, are you coming to Navadvip? Okay. Today?
Yes.
Wow, what happened?
So auspicious. Well, we talked about you coming to Canada.
Oh.
And that was a big blessing. And my husband and I went to the application from the lake. It was so beautiful. So beautiful. And we really appreciated the sentiment there. We just thanked him for coming to Canada. It can be so hard on the Badger devotees that Badgers not having. Badgers are like our lifeline.
Everyone will have to come to do
some. Yeah.
A little extra endeavor, a little extra money.
Well, Badger's just so sweet.
What?
The whole environment.
Plus it's so sweet.
The
mountains.
Badger's just so sweet. Well, Gerda's so accessible. He walks out of his room and the children are there and the old people are there.
Oh, that's because of the school, yeah.
It's just so...
Yeah.
You know, and all those teenage kids that hang around California, they go up there because, you know, for their material and
don't... Wait, I'm going the wrong way.
Okay, where are you?
Right here.
I don't even know where he's staying. I don't see many thousands like that.
Is this, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Gurudev will have to manifest the sweetness in Houston.
Is this you?
Know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He'll have to make up the difference.
Oh.
Know what I mean? He'll have to make up the difference. By
is this
adding
your
that.
Ashram?
Yeah.
Is it?
He'll have to.
Is there anything I can do to help you?
No.
Okay.
Just keep preaching.
Thank
keep.
You for your time.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Bol. I'll talk to you in a bit. I'll come down.
I'm going to be here.
Okay. Huh?
Right down there.
She just wants me to tell Gurudev that she has some other person. Yeah, maybe you could help. She has some other person who's living in her body. She doesn't know who it is, and she wants me to ask Gurudev who it is and what she should do. That was the whole thing. Thanks. Did Muni Maharaj come?
Yeah, he did.
Did he look at the thing?
He did.
He looked at it already?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you knew where it was?
No.
Vasanti knew where it was?
He was here.
Oh, great.
Just
all right. Where's Vasanti now? What are these things?
They're called dragon fruit.
Oh. Radha Govinda. So, okay. Here we are in the material world, yes sir.
No denying it.
Huh?
But there's no denying it.
Thanks, I came to your class.
Is that a little bit helpful?
Oh, I met Guru there.
What happened?
Good. Thank you. Good. Again.
Dad, he brought you back to life?
Yeah.
He sewed up the body after the other
day. Yeah. Yeah, he sewed it up completely.
Wow, what did he say?
So I told him, Gurudev. Gurudev, I'm not able to understand what benefit I'm going to get out of this, what you're doing. But for my spirituality, tell me what benefit will I be getting out of this.
Hey, good question. Are you going out?
So Guru, they may told me to ask that question.
Good.
She's a good wife.
She is, yeah.
Okay. That's why I'm a bit disturbed that she won't be with me.
Yeah, so what did he say?
So he said that there won't be no spiritual harm. Actually, you will advance in spirituality. And it is for your spirituality, both spirituality, that I'm doing this. I'm not doing this. I mean, he said that Premai has forcefully taken this order from me. Okay. But he said that, but for her spirituality, it's good that she stays in India, do work.
Yeah.
And serve me. Because even though there's some financial loss, but there'll be like spiritual benefit.
Right.
So, I said, okay, Gurudev. And
wait, can I just ask?
But he's telling me to.
Is there another one of these? Like, put this in?
You're going by bus?
Bus, yeah. We have any more classifiers? I don't think so.
A large one for clothes.
Are you taking breakfast before?
Yeah,
let's
take
it. I really needed you.
Oh, you didn't show it to him?
Well, I didn't know what was the final. I showed him what we had, but from Vikash, I don't know what it was final.
Yeah, from Vikash.
Anyways, he just had a bunch of suggestions.
Oh, great. Okay. Great.
So he said that.
Coming back.
So tapes?
Yeah.
Tapes.
This one's.
Any plastic bags, anybody?
Yeah.
You need some of those. I just have the email.
You
have it?
Okay. I'm always in touch with him. So.
Okay.
Once in 10 days, 15 days. I rub him the wrong way.
Yeah.
So you're saying like, I think that what I, finally what I figured out is that for next 1 year, for next 2 years, he's saying 2 years,
yeah.
That stay in America and learn whatever I've spoken, read books, do a lot of harina. And in the meantime, he's saying search for job in India. Because, and then come to India like what Prem is coming.
Yeah.
And then he's saying, if you want to stay in mud, you can stay in mud. But right now, he said that you cannot stay in mud because you will fight with other people. So, because, yeah, today morning I was fighting on the
moon. Exactly where we are, exactly what we need.
Hey, guard them with your life.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Exactly where we're at, exactly what we're meeting.
Then I told him, Gurudev, while you were doing this thing, I had serious doubt about what you were doing.
Yeah.
And I may have, you know, questioned this.
Yeah.
And so forgive me for that. You know, I must have done some apraad against you.
Yeah.
They're saying that even if you have done apraad, that's
for
you. And but there is no. Yeah, that would happen.
Do you have any single points?
One day,
points?
I was there too, so this thing do it, why you do this, so...
Right.
I said, I don't want you to look at me, so I put it at the top of the way. But then after a few minutes, I put it the other way around. So I do these kind of things. You were saying that the biggest mistake that happened from you was that you got married. You should have come to me in state and part in the town of Sanyasi.
Yeah.
So do you think what should I... So I'll be in touch with you by email.
You know, he said a lot when he said that. Does anybody know where the top of this is? He said a lot when he said that was a big mistake.
Yeah.
He's telling you that your marriage is not your, you know, source, going to be the source of your happiness.
Yeah. It is not actually. Today when I was listening to your class, I was sitting in the back, Prem was sitting in between you and me. And I was looking at the whole, having a different perspective.
Oh,
yeah. It's just a matter of changing the perspective.
Yeah. Okay, Didi. So I'll be in touch.
I'm glad to hear the news.
Yeah, thank you, Didi.
Thank you.
Please forgive me.
Ah, nothing to forgive.
Okay, Didi. Hare Krishna.
Okay,
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. All right.
No, no. Thanks. Okay. Thank you, Didi.
Thank you. See you soon.
So
I got some tapes for you and my bag got lost.
Oh, bummer.
I bought some tapes from America.
Oh, yeah.
Air France lost my bag.
Oh, my God.
Bunch of tapes.
Oh, what a bummer. They should pay you.
What I'm going to do is that when devotees come to Mumbai from there, I'll send some.
Great, thanks a lot.
How many do you need? 30?
30 is good, yeah.
40.
40 would be best.
Okay.
Thanks, Ru.
So, we'll say we have these following expenses. So we're giving it to you for your pocket, and these are our expenses. If you want, you can keep it. If you want, you can keep it.
Are you going to give that credit right now?
We'll say we need it for so many expenses in India. We're going to India now.
We're going to print. It's awesome.
We're going to print. We're going to print a book.
So can I just keep it like this? Or do I have to put it in a
Say, so I want to put it in your pocket to get purified and then you can use it. Or if you want to keep it,
keep it. Okay, and you have your paper?
Paper? I have my paper.
I have the pictures, but I don't have to vote again.
What'd you say?
I Pictures
we need
to know.
What?
Have you shown Gertie?
No. So what did you say? We're going there in a few minutes?
I didn't say anything. I just...
Oh, she wrote it to me?
Yeah.
Sometimes you say pay, and he's had an experience a couple times, so he'll pay at the airport and then they never charge her. But you never know.
Oh, what about the shopping?
Well, 7 o'clock.
Oh, there's a smoothie there.
You don't have time for smoothie. You can take it after.
And then we're gonna, and then we can
take it. Or you can take some fruit, right? Apple or something, or orange right now.
No, I can't be cool, all right?
Because he was back so late!
You wanna go to Dreadnought and ask him?
I already asked him.
What
did you say? Yeah, come at 10. I also told him Chitra and Chitra are coming. Hey, I lost the cap for this. If anyone sees it.
I threw a cap.
You did?
In the bathroom.
And he said he sent it and asked him about the Philippine report.
Yeah, he said he sent it.
He said he sent it, but
I didn't
get it.
I didn't get it.
Maybe he said...
No.
You say, let's see, did they ask if you say you'll pay at the airport?
You know how to get to the airport?
He did not send it, I'm not asking. And then when you get to the airport.
Wait, where's
my question? They never told me to pay it. I don't know, Anita said that she's had it a couple times, she's gone to the airport. Yeah. And they just like put it through, so you just be like, show your passport.
You get dry?
And if you have to pay, that's really psyche.
That would be psyche. So she's gonna have to spend 1,500 rupees at the
next. And Nita
so,
said,
yeah.
I think me and Nita said that you had a 500 rupee electric bill.
So when is me my?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I just paid my electric bill. That's what's her name's.
Bonus. Part of it in
May, huh?
And Nita says you owe us 100. Nita said you had a loan with her for 130 rupees, $130.
Well,
oh, show Munimaraj. I don't know. I think you need to talk to Munimaraj.
Yeah, because he
says it shouldn't be. You shouldn't have invocation. And you shouldn't have prayers recited by.
Oh, let's
should just in the front. Should just say sung by, Gop Gigi, sung by.
All
blah blah right.
Blah. Well, that's the
okay.
Hey, we got the expert.
He is expert.
Okay, ready to go.
Rolling. It's kind of damp a little bit. Sure, it's still damp. Should I leave it out till the end? Huh?
Why not?
That means the art's gotta be done.
Yeah.
Why isn't this getting reception? Couldn't you give you
what?
Yeah, we gotta email Mindy.
Yeah. So I'm going to, don't you ask. I'm going to ask for you.
Huh?
I am going to ask for you.
Ask Prajna.
I'll ask Prajna. Okay? I'm going to ask Prajna.
Oh. All right. All right. Who's the lucky recipient? Honey, well, can you bring us to that room upstairs, please? 512. Yeah. No, oh, her notes. You can ask over there was a Mickey. Can you ask Govinda? There was a Mickey Mouse notebook.
I thought she took her notes.
She didn't. They were in that Mickey Mouse notebook. Hey, well, do you have any friends that want these books? You want to distribute those to your friends? Huh? Free. Use it for the whatever you get, just use it for the whatever project, Kun project, or your children, your kids. Are you doing the Sunday school still?
Not Sunday school, in sample, but there is a school that called me, and they're working trying to work out to go to Christian school.
Right. Okay.
Oh, yeah, no way. It's not going to
Are you going back to Thailand?
Yes, but first. Okay. I have now nothing.
And then don't worry about whatever you don't worry about.
This is a nice one.
Any nice person. That's so nice. I like it.
Yeah,
I like how it's half.
Like half?
Yeah.
Half one.
Yeah. It's so much easier to read. And also we talked to Kunja about bringing some.
Should we go right?
No, he just said come.
Oh,
yeah. But I think that they'll call us. Kunja said that you and her have space, some luggage space allowance.
No, now yes.
Yeah.
But I have some things in. Temple.
Yeah.
Many I left with something.
Okay.
So.
She said she has space though. Maybe
What do you want?
Some Shiva Tattva books to go back to India.
Yeah.
100 or 200.
100. Yeah, I think so. I can carry
on.
This. Yes.
Okay. So
no problem.
We'll show you them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's
today.
Good. I can distribute. Because we have some time in Malaysia.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
So I was wondering.
Okay, because we have some that we left there when they were first printed. Anyways, this big thing happened. There was, we couldn't carry them, so they've been there for like 3 years,
okay.
But they're really ours.
Oh, yeah.
And now there's only 50.
Okay.
There's only
also donations. Okay?
Yeah. What is this?
What do you think?
I mean, what are you
what
giving
it,
it
look
to?
Like?
Are you giving it to me for?
I'm just saying, hold it for a second, my darling.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear.
Well, we could get people together there.
So.
But, you know,
I don't want to hold this.
This is really nice. Clark, I was speaking.
Oh, you made me hold it for?
Clark.
Thanks. So whatever you can carry, and then if you meet anybody on the way, you want to distribute any, you can.
Can you carry anything?
No.
The report almost ready.
Okay.
I wrote to him. I wanted to talk to you about that.
He just contacted one devotee from ISKCON and he said he wants to cooperate with him.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, he sent me an email this morning saying Shamrani is very special. We need to make it very organized and really nice. Don't waste any time.
Nice.
Yeah.
The Japanese are very precise.
Yeah.
And like organized.
Yeah.
And organized, yeah. So
what are we at now? February? So they have all February. They have like 6 weeks. It's like in 7 weeks.
Is that it? March. Mid-March.
Mid-March.
Yeah, oh my god.
7 weeks? March 16th
so,
is in
17. So Navadvip is January. Just a month
god.
Away. What day does it start?
Fourth. I think fifth is about Sankalpa.
I don't know.
11th is Gorpani.
11. Oh, it's so quick. I wanted to go to Jagannath Puri, maybe not. Mahat doesn't know yet, no. Another time.
If I could raise a Lakshmi, I'll definitely come along, but otherwise...
Yeah. Go speak to Gurudev.
Okay.
Get some blessings.
Yeah. And then hopefully, and then once we're there, you won't have to spend so much within Japan.
You need
Prashana
a good place,
will be there.
Yeah.
Lodging. You won't have to pay for your stay.
No.
Oh, yeah?
Sometimes there's some cheap tickets on kayak.com.
Kayak?
Mm-hmm.
I've been using this travel agent on Oahu. They're normally even cheaper than like Expedia.
Oh, perfect.
They put you on JL. I flew JAL the whole way here.
Oh, nice.
That was pretty good. Hopefully it works out. India is usually around, what, 1,200 from America?
Yeah.
11, 12.
Yeah, Krishnamani told me she's got a ticket for, 1175 or something from LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what airline I can ask her.
Yeah.
Hawaii's a little closer, I guess, unless from LA. Did you go the other way?
I think they go through Germany.
About the same.
We want to distribute the prasadam.
Definitely, yeah.
There's not many devotees in Japan at all.
Oh.
We can cook in ISKCON.
No.
No.
You don't want to deal with them.
No. We have to find
our own cooking.
I mean, I'm friends with them. I'm cool with them.
Yeah.
They went from charging us every night to stay there to leaving, going on holiday, and having us take care of the whole temple for weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Cooking, making offerings, the whole thing.
Wow.
First, they didn't even really want us to stay there. They're very rigid, cold-hearted people.
Wow.
That is not simple.
If we can get Jayananda's phone number, that would be really great.
Jayananda?
Yeah, he hasn't gotten back to me on that. I'll ask him again.
Sorry, godbrother. Because they don't have the email that Brajan Jamie bounced back, so.
He's nowhere else like Sangha's base. Everybody needs to get on Sangha's
base. I agree.
That's really helpful.
It is. It's really. There's also, I don't know if he has any contacts, but do you have the email of Japanese devotee in Arizona?
Yeah, but I got it, but I think I lost it. I find it. Again.
There's a Japanese devotee, I think he's Prabhupada's disciple.
Yeah,
he's the first Japanese devotee. He's married to a Spanish woman.
But he lives in
Arizona.
Oh, and now he's in Arizona?
Yeah.
Wow.
But he might have,
You may know Jainanda. See, Tokyo is a little tough. I don't know. Stay in Tokyo, I don't really have that connection, but like Fuji, Osaka.
Yeah, we can do another place, Tokyo, Yamanashi.
Yeah, if we can reach Jainanda, then we can stay there in Tokyo.
That would be good.
So somehow we have to
find him. You know anyone else that may know him? How did he end up getting initiated? Was he in America or something?
I don't know. Maybe it's Brajna. And maybe do a search in his genome. Well, it's been 2 years. They were there 2 years ago. Three days.
And he stayed at the house.
He stayed in a hotel. And Jayananda brought his wife. Yeah. And they brought him, stove, boga. Jayananda brought everything to the hotel.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's really helpful.
Yeah.
And he's in Tokyo somewhere.
I've never met him, but I just...
How many devotees in Japan?
One.
And his wife. Oh, there was another lady. But I don't know. She married a Muslim. Gurdy was really upset with her.
You know who we should get a hold of is Chitraketu.
Oh.
Because he lived there a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We have his email, actually.
Perfect.
He can hook us up.
Oh, Chitraketu.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Funny how it all happened. Like Jagadish was in the temple like before I got there, and he got into this big argument with the temple president.
Really?
So he kicked him out, right? So he goes upstairs, like the temple is the bottom, the ground floor of an apartment complex. So he goes upstairs and he starts staying with Chitraketu. He doesn't like that at all, so he kicks Chitraketu out, right?
Gosh,
this is all
so
before
weird.
This
it's
all before
weird behavior. I can't understand.
Very strange behavior. So then he kicks Chitraketu out. Chitraketu ends up moving far from the temple, and then he just like runs into Gurudev.
I know,
somewhere.
I was there.
Where was that?
In Hong Kong. It wasn't even in Hong Kong. It was across Hong Kong. There's an island called Lantau Island. It's like near the airport. And Gurudev, it's like a village. Like really, you're walking through this village, and there's all these houses, you know? And here's this, like, he looked homeless. I saw him right when it happened. He totally looked homeless with like this like sports coat, but like not a nice sports coat, you know, like, and pants. Yeah. And he's kind of, you know, got that belly. So he's sitting, and there's, and within this village, there's like a little corner shop for drinks and sodas, you know? And he's sitting at the table.
What, you seen his beads?
No.
How'd you...
Oh, so Dinanath and his wife Jayashree were walking by, and Dinanath said they... Chitraketu said Hare Krishna to them, because they were dressed as devotees. And then Dinanath was like, Hare Krishna, how do you know, you know, how do you know Krishna? And he's like, well, I met Prabhupada back in whatever year. And then Gurudev was literally pulling up, like, within minutes. And so Dinanath said, oh, well, do you know she's Srila Narayan Raj? She's arriving in like 5 minutes. Do you want to come? So they walk to the house. Gurudev's car pulls up like 5 minutes later. And he was there for the arrival and the whole festival and put saffron on in that same festival. Like 4 days later.
Yeah.
He was so ready, even when I met him in Japan. We would take him out like to lunch, and just because he was, you could tell he was like a pious devotee. Very sweet, like
soft-hearted. Yeah, very soft, yeah.
And he wrote, Prabhupada instructed him to write like all this high poetry about Radha and Krishna.
Really?
And stuff. Wow. He's like, oh, I've written a lot, but I don't, I'm like, just do it, Prabhupada. Follow your guru's instructions, you know.
Wow.
So maybe he'll, he's a writer.
Yeah, that's what he was telling us. Then he went, after he went, oh, he was in Badger. He's on the Badger?
I've seen him in Badger, yeah.
So then he went on that whole tour last summer. He went from Hong Kong to Badger, to Florida, to Italy. I don't know where he is now, but...
Yeah,
and
I wonder where he is.
It was doing really amazing. We were in London, and we had a big art show, and the devotees from Glastonbury were there, and his wife came. And she was like, me and my daughter have been so worried, just left and never said anything, never wrote us. And instead of being like really mad and angry, she was like, I'm just so happy that Krishna took care of him and brought it, showed him Srila Narayan Raj.
Give me the chills.
I would have been like pissed off, you know?
Yeah.
My husband leaves and doesn't say where
left
he is.
Family.
For years, like for like a couple years. Never wrote back. Never wrote home.
Whoa, I didn't know he did that.
She was like, Krishna shows me Krishna.
She's Asian, right?
No, she's like kind of hippie-ish. Like, maybe it was his first wife. I don't know.
I thought he remarried some Asian woman.
Maybe he did. The daughter was, there was a daughter. And
but if we get a hold of him, he may know somebody that can help us.
Yeah. Sats, we were in London, and when Sats came out, that Sats group had an affair with his psychologist or whatever. We were in London, the devotees called us from Ireland, called her. She's like, can you please come, like, this weekend? It was, like, Tuesday. And, like,